A wrap-up of actions by the Southeast Board of Game from this week. And a second dog shot by an arrow in Haines dies. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. An update from our last newscast. One of the two dogs in Haines discovered shot with arrows died Wednesday. Foxy, the boxer dachshund mix, died after being sent to Juneau for treatment. Jeremiah Kinnison and Shannon Thompson live on Matthias Road in Haines. After letting their dogs Foxy and Maple out of their house on Tuesday morning, Maple, a rat terrier, returned with an arrow lodged in her head. She was flown to Juneau for treatment and is expected to recover. Foxy remained missing overnight. Thompson said Foxy returned home Wednesday with an arrow through her body. She was also sent to Juneau, but Kinnison said she died during surgery to remove the arrow on Wednesday. Haines Police and the Haines Animal Rescue Kennel opened an animal cruelty case and are trying to find who was involved in the shooting. HARC Director Steve Vick said Wednesday his agency is encouraging nearby dog owners to keep their canines leashed and secure. An anonymous donor has set up an account at First National Bank Alaska Branch to help offset more than $2,000 in vet bills Kinnison and Thompson have incurred. Donations to the Foxy Fund can be made at the bank's Haines Branch. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe said the case is still under investigation. The Alaska Board of Game met in Sitka earlier this week for several days, and we have a few items of interest from the event. In one of the most anticipated items up for discussion, the board rejected, once again, calls to open big game hunting seasons earlier for residents than for non-residents. A total of 6 proposals restricting non-resident access to hunting were before the board. The board considered 2 and took no action on the others due to their similarity. According to Board Chair Ted Spraker, variations on this proposal have been sent 4 or 5 times to the board at its last few meetings by, quote, the same group of folks. He said he could not support the proposals, mainly because they were too broad. The board preferred to look at hunting seasons on a case-by-case basis and take into consideration species differences and scientific information. Board member Bob Mumford had reviewed the comments submitted with the proposals and understood the implications.
This board is made up of residents. We are all residents on this board, and I think we've taken a lot of effort to protect residents. We all feel for that. You know, I've seen some hits in there that we are all trying to take care of the guiding industry too much and not protecting the residents, and I just don't accept that as being accurate.
Mumford went on to say, we are a conservation board. Board member Nathan Turner noted that non-residents are the only people who hunt some areas of the state, typically far from communities. He said the license fees they pay were significant. Giving them up would be a devastating blow to wildlife conservation. In other actions by the Board of Game, proposals that would have shortened the black bear baiting season in the Upper Lincolnel Unit 1D failed. The proposal called for opening black bear baiting from June 1st through June 31st, shortening the season from 12 to 4 weeks. The board did approve a proposal to extend the brown bear season and increase the bag limit for Berners Bay Unit 1C. Other major moves by the board included shortening the deer hunting season on the Lindenberg Peninsula near Petersburg. Fish and Game proposed that reduction because of concerns over low deer numbers. The board also voted to close elk hunting on Zarembro Island near Wrangell to let the transplanted herd there rebound. The board also approved changes to the way dead bears are counted in Unit D, which is the area near Sitka, including Admiralty, Baranoff, and Chittagong Islands. Previously, bears that were wounded and then escaped were automatically counted as a dead female bear. But the Alaska Professional Hunters Association, whose members include bear hunting guides, argued that in many cases, that's not true. They said escaped bears often survive and are often not female. The group said counting wounded bears as dead females unfairly raises the figure on human-caused bear mortality and limits hunting opportunities. The board agreed, and as of July 1st, wounded bears will no longer automatically count as dead females. In another contentious item, the board advanced a pair of reports that call for trapping wolves in southeast Alaska in an attempt to help deer populations recover. 2 feasibility studies look at wolf management in what the state refers to as Units 1A and Unit 3. Unit 1A surrounds Ketchikan, Metlakatla, Hyder, and more. The plan there is to eliminate wolves from Gravina Island. It's estimated to cost about $350,000 over 5 years. In Unit 3, the study proposes trapping on the Lindenberg Peninsula near Petersburg, as well as nearby Wawadski and Mitkoff Islands. The goal there would be to remove about 80% of the wolves rather than all. But a consortium of environmental organizations blasted both plans. The Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, Greenpeace, the Alaska Wildlife Alliance, and others wrote joint letters opposing both plans. They argue it's unknown how much the deer population might recover if the wolves are eliminated. They blame the low deer population on Gravina Island on poor winter habitat, not wolves, and say there are flaws with the Department of Fish and Game's assessments. Similar arguments are made against a proposal near Petersburg. The groups say the study is based on flawed harvest objectives and that habitat is the problem. They urge the state to resist further loss of habitat due to logging. The acceptance of both studies by the Board of Game is far from the last step. Board Vice Chairman Ted Spraker said the board's action does not mean it's adopted the plan. Department of Fish and Game staff are expected to bring back a more refined proposal at the Board of Game's next meeting. And finally, the Board of Game rejected tougher restrictions for hunters who shoot nannies. Managers have been concerned about declining numbers of the female mountain goats near Sitka, but the 7-member board voted unanimously to keep the status quo. And one last item. On Thursday afternoon, a joint meeting of the State House and Senate Transportation Committee met in Juneau. The meeting was live-streamed and watched by a handful of people at the Haynesboro Library. At the meeting, representatives and senators asked Department of Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp about the state's changing course for the Alaska Class Ferry Project. Kemp spoke about the issue at length. In a nutshell, the state is now hoping to build 2 shuttle ferries that would service the Upper Lynn Canal. One would travel between Haynes and Juneau, the other between Haynes and Skagway. Commissioner Kemp admitted modifications would be needed for the Haynes terminal to accommodate a shuttle-type roll-on or roll-off ferry. He also would not say if plans call for open decks on the new ferry design. But Kemp did note there is a preliminary design report already on his desk. He is planning to release that plan in the next 2 weeks. We'll have more on this story in our Monday evening newscast. And now for our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered, here's local writer Debbie Knight Kennedy.
The first time it happened, I was parked in my car in front of the dentist's office on Main Street, not really doing anything, just sitting and watching our small town life playing out before me. It was after the tourists had gone, but before the winter snow set in, too early for holiday cheer and too late for the breathtaking colors of autumn. Not much good material there for a reality show, but at least there were no commercials. Funny how it snuck up on me, quiet as a kitten, then proceeded to unravel me like an escaped ball of yarn. Another time, it happened on a bench in front of the main stage in the lull between shows at the state fair. Nobody was doing anything noteworthy. Friends and neighbors, usually too busy with the business of summer, finally having the time to chat. Parents alternately scolding and adoring their wild-eyed children. Girls, young and old alike, looking pretty in their new Fairtime swirly skirts. Extra tufts below, woolly sweaters up top. Unremarkable. And beautiful as any work of art. Just before Christmas, it happened again. This time on the hard, backless bleachers located in the elementary school gym. It wasn't when the children paraded in, faces glowing, half-proud, half-scared, the girls all done up in taffeta and tulle, the boys with their hair combed, vests buttoned, shirts tucked in. It wasn't the angel-voiced choir, complete with soloists and plastic recorder flutes. This time, it was the plight of the kindergartners, dutifully lined up on the risers and honestly trying their best to be big kids. As I watched the subversive and squirmy antics of little girls in scratchy dresses and little boys who had been good for way too long, sure enough, I teared up again. I came to Haynes 17 years ago, a single mom with 2 teenage daughters and nothing more to my name than a crazy faith that I was meant to be here. That faith has grown into a love that cannot be shaken by politics or finances or weather. This place is my home, the people my tribe, and I thank daily whatever powers that be that granted me the good fortune of finding it. So if you see me around town wearing a sappy grin, my eyes welling up with tears, most likely you'll be looking at tears born of love.
That was Debbie Knight Kennedy with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Quick note, on Monday morning between 6 and 8 a.m., we will be carrying live coverage from NPR of the presidential inauguration. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friedenauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We are news from the Upper Lincoln Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News. And on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lincoln Canal Weekend. And you can always listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.